Things go wrong, we practice a lot. So some of the examples, like, hey, the breach happens. How do we handle the breach? The ransomware happens. How do we handle those situations? So we practice a lot, and rightfully so. We need a lot of the practice on it. But there are other areas that's like, what would happen if thinking goes wrong?
This is a Security Weekly production. Security Weekly is a resource of Cyber Risk Alliance.
The Cybersecurity Collaborative is proud to present CISO Stories. Each week, CISO Stories takes a deep dive on security leadership with one of the contributors to my latest book, the best-selling CISO Compass, Navigating Cybersecurity Leadership Challenges with Insights from Pioneers, as well as other top CISOs and industry security leaders. The Cybersecurity Collaborative is a unique membership community enabling cybersecurity leaders to work together in a trusted environment. To learn more, visit securityweekly.com/CSC or visit cyberleadersunite.com. I am your host, Todd Fitzgerald, and this week we welcome Sajan Gurung, CISO at Arvest Bank.
It is one of those fields that where I can apply diverse set of skill sets. It's one of those fields where you can have multiple backgrounds and still can solve the problem on the cybersecurity. So because I'm interested in so many different things, and cybersecurity is the field that satisfied that need.
Interesting. So what sort of career path did that take you on? What did you study in school before you got into cybersecurity?
Sure. My undergraduate was in Management Information Systems. It was a BBA degree, Bachelor's of Business Administration. And obviously my first job was around the technology side of the things. And then over the years, I got exposed into the risk management. At one point of time, I even thought about being a CFA, Certified Financial Analyst, and go into merger and acquisitions of the world. I do have a lot of interest, but it started in the technology.
Interesting. I remember once I started out as a DBA. I was a programmer first, but then I was a DBA for a long time before I got into security. And I remember I had this opportunity. I was looking at a career change, and I was thinking about being a financial analyst as well, and selling securities to people. And the only thing that kept me away from that was I remember that I had a family, I had a mortgage, I had kids, and they started you off with a certain salary, and then each quarter the salary decreased because the idea was that you were then taking on clients and you would build up your portfolio. And it's like, well, I didn't think I could take, I'm risk averse, and I couldn't take that kind of risk at that time to go into that. But that's I've always been I get your interest in financial stuff because I've always looked after investments and things like that, and that's kind of a side hobby of mine as well.
Yeah, that is very interesting, because that is how exposure to finance got me exposed to risk management, right? Because I'm also risk averse. So it's like when I started getting deeper into the finance, I started more understanding more about like what type of risk technology could introduce and how we can manage those risks appropriately. How do we hedge it? How does the options trading work? All those things. So I think that made me better information security professional by being exposed to finance side.
Yeah, definitely. So today we're going to talk about leading difficult conversations as a CISO. And I really love this topic because it's something that we're all going to be faced with at different points in time. So why don't you walk us through that? What do you mean by that, leading difficult conversations as a CISO?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a very interesting topic and topic deep to my heart. I try to categorize those into two buckets, right? One is when things go wrong, and another is when thinking goes wrong. Things go wrong, we practice a lot. So some of the examples, like, hey, the breach happens. How do we handle the breach? The ransomware happens. How do we handle those situations? So we practice a lot, and rightfully so. We need a lot of the practice on it. But there are other areas that's like, what would happen if thinking goes wrong? What if we are not thinking the cybersecurity in a deep way? So that is where I do think I have more interest in. So I'll give you some of the examples, right? A lot many time, we do tend to think cybersecurity in a deterministic way. But in fact, cybersecurity risk is a probabilistic issue. We need to think in the probabilistic way. But people coming from the technology background like us, we do not have a deep exposure into probabilistic thinking. This is where we need to learn from the other discipline who have been doing this for the longest time. Insurance, actuarial science, they do think in the probabilistic terms. So this is where I do get very interested on.
So how do we integrate that kind of thinking into, you know, our decision making as CISOs, that we end up with a more probabilistic point of view?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things, like first knowing how the things work. So if I'm a CISO and I do not know about the difference between complex and complicated problems, right? So let's think about it. Let's take it through the example. If there is an assembly line, generally, if you provide the same inputs, you do get the same output. There are not much environmental variables that would change the output. But let's think about vulnerabilities. If there is an open vulnerabilities, it may get exploited. It may not get exploited. It depends on a lot of the environmental variables. So in a way, cybersecurity is more like a financial market situations than assembly line. And how does this financial market think? They do think in terms of the probabilistic. We also need to think in the probabilistic term. So we need to learn more about it.
So like in the financial areas where you do all these Monte Carlo simulations to figure out, you know, what your risk and everything is, as a CISO, how does that just show itself up? What should we be doing differently? Should we have some kind of range of outcomes, or how does that look like that can help us manage these different events?
Yeah, absolutely. The range of outcomes. That's, and also looking into some specific items, such as what is our loss exposure on each delivery channels. So if I'm a bank, do I know the loss exposure on each of the channel, and have I done the probabilistic methods there? Have we engaged with the business partners to come up with that? So that could be one start. And then thinking in terms of what is the loss that I can accept, tying that to the risk appetite and risk threshold, and also looking into the things like, if it goes beyond that, do we have appropriate insurance to cover that? What should be the premium that we should be paying? What should be the reserve that we should have? So those are the things that we should be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's a really good thing to be focusing on, is that we have this range of values that things can happen. You also mentioned the understanding our cognitive biases. How do we manage that?
Yeah, absolutely. We all have our bias, and information security people are not immune to that. We come from a certain background. We usually have this protective mindset, and sometimes we do see problems where the problem does not exist. We kind of magnify the problems. So we have to know about it. We have to have the introspection to say, like, hey, am I in the groupthink? Do I have the bias on the groupthink? Do I have the bias of contamination effects? Do I have the problem of induction? So those are some of the things, but there are so many other biases. Only when we know about our bias, we can observe the bias in the other people. So that is one area. And about how to address that is maybe take some training on the structured analytic techniques that would help us in understanding our own bias. Even better, if we enroll somebody from our stakeholders group in the same training, that way they are also exposed to that, and we know each other's bias.
And what training is that?
It is a structured analytic techniques. There's a book on that as well, but this training is provided by, I believe, UMBC. They do provide that training, but it was used by CIA for the longest time, this structured analytic techniques to reduce the bias.
The article this podcast is based upon can be viewed in the best-selling cybersecurity leadership book, CISO Compass, Navigating Cybersecurity Leadership Challenges with Insights from Pioneers.
So what are some of those examples that you see today of groupthink, where our biases are getting in the way?
Yeah, I mean, we do see that all the time, right? I mean, the first thing that we do see is a contamination effect. Sometimes we just like, we do see there's a problem, and then we immediately jump into like, we did have that. Oh, so it might be this. Then also we anchor to the solution before analyzing it deep enough. Groupthink, we do have a herd mentality, to be honest with us, right? I mean, a lot of the people, we come from the same background. Most of them are from technology. So even when there is a process issues, we do see that as a technical issues a lot many times. I'm not saying all the time, but a lot many times. And this is also one area, the diversity helps quite a bit. I'm going to double click to what Nicole Ford mentioned in, I believe, episode number 112. How does diversity help? When I do talk about the diversity, I'm not simply focusing on the general diversity, like gender, age, racial, but the diversity of thought, diversity of professional background, that is also helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done several episodes around inclusion and diversity, and you know, it comes out in every one of those. It's about the diversity of thinking, and to get that. We also had Amy Bojek in one of the things that she said in the CISO Stories podcast, was that it's great to have that on a team, but if you don't actually leverage that, if you just get a bunch of diverse people and diverse thought, but you don't harness that in some way and actually try to bring that out, then you've just wasted your time recruiting a diverse team.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to be intentional about it. We have to have a plan, and then we have to have some ground rules too, right? Just for the sake of diversity, we cannot just have like the chaos to solve the problem. We need to have some kind of boundary around it.
Mm-hmm. You think that, you know, where are CISOs in this cognitive bias when we're going into the boardroom? Are there things that we should be thinking about doing differently? That are there some perceptions that most CISOs tend to have that may be invalid because of groupthink?
Could be. Some of the things that I do see is we jump into the problem solving mode before understanding the problem. So we do not listen enough. We do not explore enough. That's what I do see. That's my perception. Again, I may be biased there too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's good perspective. And you've also talked about understanding the trade-off between experimentation versus stability. Tell us about that. I see some science experiments with security exploding and going off in the wrong direction.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So at the end of the day, this is a risk versus reward decision. I know we need to support the digital transformation. We need to support the fail fast approach. That's not going to go away. But we need to have a different lens with the risk profile and risk appetite. A CISO has to understand the risk appetite, risk profile for the entire organization. What is acceptable risk, right? And then also think in terms of the connectivity of the issues. Let's take an example. One system going down, or two different systems going down at a different times, does not have the same impact as two systems or multiple systems going down at the same time. If a CISO does not have that, does not have understanding of that interconnectedness, we'll have the issues. Right? So this is where I do tie this to systems thinking. How good are we on the systems thinking world? Do we understand that? That is also an area that we need to explore further.
Seems like CISOs put a lot of emphasis into individual controls. And, you know, we're all going down the NIST cybersecure framework and you know, picking out those controls. But how much time are we spending looking at those business processes across the environment?
Not enough, right? Understanding the business processes, the whole spectrum of it, and then thinking about a lot of other interconnected issues as well. Not enough. I don't think we are doing that enough.
So how do we get at this risk appetite? Who decides that, and how does the CISO make sure that we're operating within that risk appetite?
Yeah, this is a group effort. No one person decides that. No board of directors decides that. We need to have we need to understand the overall loss exposure we do have, or risk exposure we have, and then as a combined effort, we need to come up with, hey, this is acceptable. And that changes according to the environment. One company cannot have the same risk appetite forever. It changes. It changes in the market. It changes on the economic volatility and all those things. But it's a group effort.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in today's world with the ransomware attacks and everything else that we've had, is that risk appetite, do you think that's getting bigger, or are we narrowing it down, or, you know, where are we on the risk appetite?
I think it also depends on what organization is trying to do. If organization is trying to move very fast in this environment, we may be introducing more risk to the environment. That means our risk appetite has to increase, right? Because if we do not increase our risk appetite, we may not be able to capture on the business opportunities. But how are we addressing that? Does that mean, are we going to increase our insurance as well? Are we going to make security more stronger? Because if we are increasing the risk appetite in this environment, we need to increase security posture as well at the same time. Right, we cannot simply increase the risk appetite without addressing the control, the gaps we have.
So have you been successful in, is your risk appetite as goes up, that you've got more money for more projects to support that in your risk so that your risk posture is able to support that?
Yeah, absolutely, right? Because we have to calibrate. And at the same time, we have to think about, like, hey, is it an acceptable for us, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, our appetite is high, but if we are not supporting that with the corresponding dollars, initiatives, and all, I think we are doomed for failure.
Mm-hmm. And run from that employer, right?
Absolutely. I mean, run from everywhere.
So this has been great. What final advice would you give to emerging CISOs, current CISOs, experienced CISOs, as they're going down this journey and having to have those tough conversations?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very good question. My advice would be get the diverse set of experience and the knowledge in a diverse field. Not just on the technology area. Understand how risk work. Understand how organizational bias, organizational psychology works. The bias that all those things. Systems thinking. How all of these things play in the whole ecosystem. I think those are the three main things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very useful. It's the whole looking at how an organization really works, right? And how decisions get made and tapping into that would probably be beneficial, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been great talking with you today, Sajjan. And thank you very much for taking the time.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Todd.
Thank you.
Visit more CISO Stories podcasts on securityweekly.com, where you will find an index to prior episodes. The Cybersecurity Collaborative is a unique membership community enabling cybersecurity leaders to work together in a trusted environment. To learn more, visit securityweekly.com/CSC or visit cyberleadersunite.com.